Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And this is a presentation about love and gratitude and the letters that we have inside us that we should really put on paper. My feeling is that almost everything in life, every time you've been touched by somebody's kindness or you've recalled something wonderful, any good experience you've had, or bad experience actually, in that lie the seeds of a love letter to someone. And I feel that you should sit down and write that love letter of gratitude or passion or hope or planning to anybody. What is the point? Gratitude taken to the grave, in a word, really doesn't serve anyone. It's such a beautiful thing to share. And I'm going to tell you about our guest. I want to say a little something about her first. It's Amy Waters, who is a wonderful artist and the founder of dreamscripts.com, which my dream script, my dreamscripts.com. And I met Amy about 6 years ago because I helped Amy and Phil work on their wedding vows. And Amy called me recently to tell me some of the things she was doing, and it fit in so perfectly with the world of love letters, her artwork does. And I realized this is a love letter, this is a love story so worth telling that I asked her to come do this with us. So Amy, thank you for coming here, and I want to turn this over to you. And why don't you start out by, if you like, by telling us what you do, and in terms of my dream scripts. Why don't you tell us what that is? It's a little mysterious sounding.
Sure, sure. Thanks, Jen. First, I want to say thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure just to even see you again. So what a delight.
Ditto.
Thank you so much. So my dream scripts really is something that just unfolded out of really the way I've learned to live my life, and I really wanted to share it with other people who really want to create their dreams. And so my dream scripts is a way to basically what they are. They're actually books. They're handmade, hand-painted, totally unique, hand-sewn books where you can write and script your cherished dreams and to write them in a way where you actually feel that they're already happening. So it's to allow your imagination to expand, to play in more magic. They sort of, when you look at them, they sort of inspire a sense of magic and wonder and mystery.
They are gorgeous.
So what I really am about is bringing more sacred honoring of the love in our lives, mm-hmm. and the love that we want to create in our lives.
Okay, well, on that note, I want you to tell about your love story and where you were, as you mentioned once, the shift you had to make in how you saw yourself in this world to allow love to come into your life. And just do it. Just tell about you're looking for someone and how you found someone.
Absolutely.
It's a combination of very standard and very non-standard.
Exactly. And it's not, well, you know, living in the Bay Area, none of us are new to the idea of writing down what you want, especially with that whole explosion of the book called The Secret, right? Now, however, I've been involved in metaphysics and scripting and all kinds of ways to create my life for the past 25 years. And so I'd been looking for a love, a partner for so long.
And how long would you say?
I would say I
think that's
going
to be important for a lot of women to hear that
yeah,
it
yeah.
takes sometimes
yeah.
a long time.
It doesn't have to, but I think just because it took me that long to actually claim it.
Okay.
A while, but I was 38 when I met my husband, and I hadn't been married before. So, of course, I'd been looking since I'd been in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So at least close to 20 years.
So I'm guessing you had some relationships that were not so good and some that were good didn't last for a lifetime. And
oh, yeah. I mean, I had, in fact, I went to an astrologer one time and she said, wow, you've really been dating a lot of losers.
Oh.
And she said, you know, I mean, I was really looking in so many different avenues to find it. And I really made it something that I was seeking it with full intention. I got to it like it was a part-time job, really.
Good. And I've heard that before. Other
yeah.
women say that. But I have something I just really want to interject for the sake of
yeah.
the men listening.
Yeah.
I don't want you to be daunted by this because women do laugh at these things.
Yeah.
But I want to say that one girl's loser can be some other girl's perfect winner.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes what we want is just not held in the man we're looking at. And, I mean, it's just so true.
Oh, no, it's such
a good
point.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but I hope men will take my word for it. If some woman thinks you're a loser, or you feel she does, you can be perfectly comfortable in feeling, well, for me, she's a loser also. She's not what I need.
Well, and that's exactly the point. The loser meaning, it's not that the person inherently was a bad person or somebody who had no value. It certainly was... It was that we didn't match what we wanted at the time.
So men keep trying.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
So
actually what it comes down to is valuing yourself first, because you're not gonna attract anybody until you value yourself
first. Now that's really important. I have a question, and maybe we'll have to save this for another visit. And if you'd like to, I'd like to.
Okay.
I wish this were a television moment. Sometimes I just want those because you are so beautiful. I mean, you're exceptionally beautiful looking. You're very talented. You're strong. You're directed. And you're kind. So let's say for another time why people have a hard time valuing themselves when they've got everything perfect going.
Yeah, that's a whole series of a television show.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay. I just wanted the TV moment so people could see how gorgeous you are, but they'll take my word for it.
Oh,
I wouldn't say if it were true. Okay, so talk about what finally drove you to Match.
Match.com. Well, now, I was working full-time, corporate job, long commute, and I knew I wasn't going to... I'd already dated some men at work. That didn't quite work out, obviously, for all kinds of reasons. But basically, I said to myself, look, I don't have that many avenues to meet men, so I want Match.com.
Oh, you mean the same old office every day? Yes,
same old
of course.
Office, same old, you know, same people, plus you're busy, you're tired, you're not exactly dating, you know, at lunchtime. So I asked the universe, I wanted that to be, that was a really strong avenue. I love the idea of meeting the man right in my own living room, you know,
of course.
In the safety and privacy of my own living room. And so I opened up myself to receive that. And so I started to, I posted a profile.
Is this your first time on a dating service?
Yes. Yes. And then I'd also done Table for Six, which was, it was kind of fun. You went out to dinner with six people, but it was very limited. You know, I had a good time going out to dinner with some people, but it really wasn't enough. It wasn't aligned enough with what I was looking for. So I just decided what I needed most was practice, and Match.com was going to provide me that, just putting myself out there.
The practice to do what? Greet people and present yourself?
The practice to, many things. The practice to, you know, put myself out there, to introduce myself, to, you know, share my gifts, to practice relationship, just practice relating and talking and sharing and, you know, getting into arguments and then working it out. All the things that you need to practice in relationship before you go.
And without leaving your living room.
Exactly.
Like you
wanted. Yeah, and finding that connection. So I got on and I met people. I dated some. And then I get excited but then discouraged. And some relationships lasted a few months. And then I'd get off of Match.com because I just was like, I got tired of it. Because what happens is that you kind of throw you cast your line out there, and it's so open to so many people and their interpretation of your profile that I found it actually difficult and odd to meet somebody who, you know, you're already sort of know each other and what you're looking for, but you don't have any chemistry. There's nothing that you're...
Oh, and chemistry is not negotiable.
No. And yet you're meeting on the pretense that, you know, you might be dating, but, you know, you kind of know pretty quickly if you have a sense of an attraction there. And so I found it a very odd way to meet men, but I was willing. And that's
But you've
one
seen
thing.
Their pictures, right? You see each other's pictures?
Yes, you see each other's pictures, but, you know, pictures, and sometimes the pictures are really old that people post and things like that.
But people don't photograph accurately.
Exactly.
I mean, that's true also. I mean, you don't get a sense of height or bulk or force, you know.
Yeah, the whole energy thing. Yeah, exactly. And they can see the right words. But then I decided it was around Christmas time in 2004, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to get back on the horse. I'd really kind of been through a process, and in the meantime, I'd also lost my mother to cancer. And that was obviously a wrenching time, because my father was also diagnosed with cancer at the time as well. So it was shocking. She only had 6 months. So I was really looking for a place to find some support in that, and of course wanted to be there for her as much as possible. And I was, and it was an incredibly magical, magical time in terms of honoring that relationship with her. So then comes Christmas time, my mother has passed, and I decide to get back on the horse. And I meet, I see a profile of a man who seems to be very aligned with my interests. You know, I've been very involved in personal coaching, and he seemed to know the same even community that I knew. And, you know, I was like, okay, let's say hello. And so we did, we met, and I knew right away he was not somebody I was that attracted to or wanted to date for a number of reasons that I don't really need
but
to
is
know.
But I know I'm living in the past and we're not really supposed to do that, but what's with the winking?
Winking.
I love this winking. It's the first time I heard of it.
It's
how you let
cute.
Somebody know that you want to say hello.
Yeah, but
winking.
You can do, instead of actually, it's kind of like the step in between actually saying hello. You can just wink at somebody because you might be a little shy. And then if you get a response, then it kind of at least warms up.
A wink back.
Yeah.
So you can approach
back.
In
yeah.
confidence that you'll be received.
Exactly.
How
then
important that is.
It's kind of cute.
Yes.
It is kind of cute. And in fact, Phil and I have a very, you know, every time, often, almost every night we go to bed, he'll say, thanks for winking.
Oh, okay. So it is important. I'm glad I asked. Okay.
It is. It's kind of a little
threat. Right. So what happened with your friend?
So we did, and I really wasn't interested, but he seemed very eager, and I'm a pushover for people that are eager. But anyway, so we went on a date, and then I said no, but then he said he really wanted a do-over, you know, and I said no, but then 2 weeks went by, and he was very persistent, and I thought it was very sweet, him saying he wanted a do-over.
What does
so
that
I
mean,
said, yes.
to do-over?
A do-over meaning, the first date wasn't so great, let's do a second date.
Oh, a date on Match.com.
Yeah.
Oh, you can tell how naive I am. I don't, okay, go
well,
ahead.
We had met.
Yes,
we sort
no.
of met online.
Oh, I just didn't know what the words meant. Okay.
Yeah. We actually met in person, and it
like
wasn't
for, excuse
a
me
great
for anybody
thing.
Who listens to this and is tempted to go on Match.com, it'd be nice to know these words before you start. So
yeah.
I'm glad you're explaining them.
Yeah, and this I'm sure Match.com has gotten much more sophisticated. This was probably, you know, 7 years ago.
Yeah. Okay. So what led to what happened after the next day?
So then after the next day, just to say, I decided, okay, we could go out, and then I just said, you know what? I want to continue to practice relationship. Because really, what
you said that
to
yourself.
To me, yeah, because what was important to me wasn't what I'd learned throughout so many years of dating, meeting lots of different types of men. It wasn't that I was locked into one type of man and
mm-hmm.
and judging men by their covers. It was I was really just trying to find a connection, and I was willing to overlook physical attributes that I may not have initially been attracted to.
Did he have physical attributes that you weren't?
Yes.
Because I met him. He's so good looking.
No, I'm talking about Phil. I'm talking about this other man.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry, Phil. Okay. Oh, oops. Okay.
yeah, so I decided I would go out with this man, even though he didn't quite, you know, light me on fire, right? So, but then, you know, what I found, and I think this is true for most women, as you start to date a guy and you start to share, you start to care. Right? No matter, even if the relationship might not be great, you still start caring about them. You're sharing time, you
mm-hmm.
know? And so I started to care about him. And as it started to continue, he started to really show me his lack of valuing himself.
Oh.
And he kept saying, I can't let you in. I can't let you in. Just hang in there.
I hope you've sent him a dozen roses and a thank you note. You
okay.
should.
Well, the way
okay.
that it sort of ended was that he was very, he just got more and more cold, and I just keep saying, you know, and he had his own wounds, and I don't need to go into all those,
right.
what was going on there. It was just, you know, rather than hanging in, I finally said, what this relationship got me so crystal clear on was not what I wanted, but what I didn't want anymore.
Oh, just as good sometimes.
Just
yes.
as good. I really set the boundary, what I don't want. What I don't want is this ambivalence. What
mm-hmm.
I do want is somebody who's grateful. And it came down to enthusiastic. It was
mm-hmm.
one word.
Mm-hmm.
I want a man who is over
yes.
the top enthusiastic, because what I'd really come to with through a lot of internal work and writing was that I wanted somebody who really valued me.
You know, you're saying this, and my ears are still on a sentence of yours a few minutes ago where you said he was so enthusiastic
in
about me. No, about me. You
yeah.
were referring to somebody else.
Yeah.
And he was enthusiastic about me and I'm a sucker for that. Everybody is.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful quality.
It's a beautiful quality. And I found, and it's one thing I have found, men have been, I think, wounded a lot, that they're almost, they feel that's really vulnerable to show how much they like a woman, because then they're, it's vulnerable for a woman too. So I wanted somebody who's willing to be that vulnerable.
Good.
And so, and of course, I'd done, you know, at that time, everybody was like saying, write the list of what you want. And you write this long list of all the qualities. And it was flat, but I kept doing. I had about three of them. So I ended this relationship with this man just because I finally went, and it really was an emotional shift of, I'm done trying to convince somebody of what I'm bringing to the table.
Oh, good for you. Okay, you all hear that, women out there?
Exactly.
And men?
Yeah.
Listen up. This is good.
I mean, it's...
So what's the shift that got you to Phil?
The shift
and how
was,
did that proceed?
I think it really... And this is where a lot of shifts have happened for me personally, is I think getting in touch with my frustration and anger very positive.
How did Phil satisfy that? What went next?
You finally met somewhere,
right?
Yeah. So what went next was then I decided, before I met Phil, I decided instead of just doing a list, I said, you know what actually works better for me? is to totally engage my imagination. And once again, this is how the dream scripts have kind of unfolded, is to sit down and write a journal entry of my life with this man as if it's already happened. So it was like a journal entry of, oh, we woke up this morning and had a wonderful cup of tea. Mm-hmm. The sun was streaming in through the window. We had this great conversation. And I just sort of started to illustrate our life together and picture in more pictures and engage
my
imagination.
So this was the as if with Phil?
Yeah. This is before I met Phil. I decided instead of a list.
Yes, I understand.
I'll just write a story.
Something more active.
Yeah. I'll write a story where I could really engage my imagination and then really say, wait, do I really want this? Because then you really start to feel it and feel the realness of it. And so then it was literally like a week after I said, done with David, that I just went for fun. I went on Match.com again, and I saw the picture of Phil, this young man, and he had this, like, light in his eyes.
He does. I might have even saw it, and I only met him once.
Aww.
Yes.
And I just thought, uh-oh. I said, he is a light. There's something cute about him, and the way that he talked about his French heritage really was aligned with my French heritage, because that's my mother,
that's right,
his friend.
I forgot. Yeah.
And so I felt like right there, uh-oh, he really has this connection. We could possibly have a strong connection there with our French heritage. And in fact, I really do strongly believe that my mother sent him to me because she really would have just loved Phil. But anyway, so we set up a time. So basically what I did is I winked at him, but I hadn't signed up. I hadn't resubscribed. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't actually write a message. So he wrote a message back going, hi, you know, but then I didn't respond. Because I wasn't signed up, I was uncommitted yet.
Didn't know that's why you didn't respond.
No. And so then I decided, you know what, I can't just leave this man hanging. So I signed back up, and I sent him a message. But he didn't get the message, but he got something that said I'd sent a message. So he wrote a message back saying, oh my God, I think I didn't get your message. And so what I got was not only, he was very engaged, very quickly.
As if he were waiting for you.
Yeah. Exactly. And so then we had a really wonderful email exchange over several days of just being very playful, sharing our days. And then we got on the phone and talked for a little bit on the phone, and I absolutely loved his voice.
I was going to ask you that, yes.
Oh, yes. I'm in love with his voice. Of course, he does get sort of he does have a really beautiful voice. So we did spend a little bit of time before we met, just getting to know each other a little bit before we actually met. And I was coming out of this relationship where I felt a little raw. I felt a little dubious. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to just jump back into a relationship. I wanted to really know that I liked this man and that he liked me. I didn't want to just...
Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't want to do it by default. You wanted it to be by 100% choice on both sides.
Exactly.
Also,
I didn't want to just be chosen either. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly. I didn't want somebody just to choose me. I wanted to choose them. I wanted it to feel very mutual. And
you wanted to choose him.
Yes.
But you wanted him to be wildly enthusiastic over you while he was waiting to be chosen.
Yeah.
That makes such sense. That's absolutely right. I'm glad we can put that into words.
Yeah. That's great. I love it, Janet. So then we decide to meet, and here is this man. I'm telling you, I'd gone on at least 10, I'd seen men, at least 10 different men. No one, not one, ever showed up with flowers.
Oh.
Phil showed up with a whole handful of white lilies.
Oh.
I mean, he never, you know, and it was so cute. And he just, and his first, I'll never forget it, he just looked down at me and just went, with a giant smile, ear to ear, "You look great," handing me the flowers.
And
it's like, okay, the enthusiastic piece was there in spades. I mean,
yes.
I'd really gotten that down. And yet I still needed to, like, I feel like I needed to meet this man, know this man, you know. So he was very enthusiastic, but I sort of, you know, we went on a really nice little coffee break date and a walk,
mm-hmm.
and it was lovely. And then we left, and he called right away saying how happy he was to have met me. And I said,
"Bet he was.
That's wonderful. And, you know, let's go slow. I'm not sure, you know, we'll see if we want to meet again." And he, you know, then of course it made him very nervous. But then I ended up.
Because his half of the we wanted to.
Yes.
Right.
He really wanted to. And
right.
I really wanted to make sure I wasn't just letting
right.
myself be chosen
right.
again. And so I decided to heed actually my father's advice, which was, he said, you know, each time you meet, if you don't honestly feel you want to meet again, then don't.
Oh. So each time you meet, you should have the desire to meet yet
again. Exactly.
I think that is a wonderful place to leave that for right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to ask you to come back and do some more with us on other other aspects of this life and romantic love. And I just want to say, I want to say, because I'm going to call Phil and ask if he'll come tell this love story from his side.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
But it is an instance I remember thinking at the time of two absolutely non-standard people going to Match.com really for reasons other than finding someone. You went so you could practice what it takes to present yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And what a wonderful outlet for that. And Phil went, and I remember he said this, and it was 6 years ago. He said it once, and I've quoted him for 6 years straight everywhere I can. And I might as well just say it here. He said that he hadn't dated in a long time. His marriage had come to an end. He hadn't dated in a very long time. And he went on Match.com to see what women wanted these days and to see if he was, in fact, the kind of man women wanted.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was one of the most intelligent things, just to consider yourself. Am I the kind of man that women want?
Yes.
And if you haven't been paying attention to that side of yourself, how would you know? And the same for you.
Yeah.
You're talking about your inner quality and being the kind of woman that a man would want and being the kind of woman you want to be that a man would. I mean, it gets really lovely. So Match.com is for more than just finding the guy or finding the girl. It's for finding yourself.
Absolutely.
If you do it right.
Absolutely. And that's really any path that you, whether it's Match.com or,
yes.
you know, whatever path you choose, it's all a journey of finding
yes.
about yourself.
Yes. And presenting your best self.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you're no good to anyone. I mean, you might as well. So
yeah.
I want to get to your artwork here
mm-hmm.
and your dream books here that are so beautiful. I want to say, you mentioned before to me that you could put your wedding vows in them,
mm-hmm.
and they're beautiful. They also, from the way where I sit, because love letters can be the center of your week or life, that they are perfect for actually writing a love letter,
yes,
and mailing it.
Absolutely.
And so they're gorgeous to receive.
Yes.
You could just write a whole love letter in this thing and send it, and it will be a piece of art with your feelings as the center of it forever.
Yes.
And even if you're doing your wedding vows in them, because wedding vows are, of course, an out loud spoken love letter.
Yes.
And you write them down. What a beautiful first anniversary gift.
Oh, absolutely.
You
absolutely.
Mentioned first anniversary. So I'm just saying, you know, to extend
mm-hmm.
the love letter.
Mm-hmm.
Please give us your website
mm-hmm.
for that.
It's mydreamscripts.com.
Spell, please.
It's M-Y, my, and then dream, D-R-E-A-M. And then scripts, scripts.com, mydreamscripts.com.
And I want you to know out there that Amy has a few of these left. Do you want to mention that you're...
Yeah, what there is to know...
You want to get in there and get one.
Yeah, I mean, they're all handmade. Obviously, I can do custom orders. I'm this just out of my desire to want to give back, and it's because I love doing art. It really and color and bringing in a kind of a depth of a
so this is your artwork actually.
This is one of the areas where I like to layer it, so it has a lot of depth and beauty. I think having beauty in your lives and really honoring something with beauty, it actually brings it to life.
And putting your feelings of love and gratitude and remembrance and planning and promising on something beautiful, because what we talk about in our workshops, well, in the Love Letters workshops, and just in general, is the gift starts with the paper. The paper you choose is part of the gift.
Absolutely.
That a love letter is. The envelope is the gift wrap.
Absolutely.
And when you pick something, you're either picking something that reflects you. So when that envelope shows up, it's saying, here I am. It's winking at you from the mail pile. Or you pick something that represents the other fellow, which is a way of saying, I know who you are.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about that.
Absolutely.
Any way you slice it, the paper is a big part of what you're doing.
Absolutely. That's why, yes. And that's why I actually like to do custom work, because if somebody really loves certain symbols or birds or nests or bees.
Okay. So go visit Amy online, and if there's something you want, be in touch with her. Now, I want to ask you today at this point, and I know we don't have too much time left, but who's getting your love letter today? That's what we ask. Now, I've already got three people in your life I'd like to write a love letter to. One, of course, is Phil. One is your mother.
Yeah.
Have you talked to your mother since she's been gone?
Well, you know, Jan, I have to say, this whole process and with you and just deciding to do this, I actually realized that's the love letter.
Oh, good. Okay.
To my mom, and that
to
really,
catch her up with your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. To catch her up, because she's involved in so many levels.
Okay.
There's more to say there, but yes.
Well, there is more to say, and I want us to say it for a minute, because, you know, as a rule, we'll sit here and we'll start to plan out the love letter, but I can see in your face that you know where you're going.
Yeah.
One of the things about a love letter is I feel very strongly that a love letter is about the other guy. It's not about you and what you think and what you did this summer and what you. That's a different kind of letter that's so worth writing and sending, but not to be confused with a love letter.
No.
Well, I was just going to say, so when you're writing a love letter to her, when someone's gone, it is really a love letter to talk about yourself, because you're letting that person know what you weren't here on earth for.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where I am, and I'm happy, and I've got all this partly because of what you gave me,
mm-hmm.
and here's what I remember about what you gave me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, I'm really getting that our love is a gift, and that and gifts are to be cherished and to be honored, and when you honor something, you actually change.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you're saying that. That's true, too. But before that, a good love letter is full of specifics.
Yes.
You're so special doesn't mean squat.
No.
You're so special can be said in other ways. Like, I remember how hard you used to work to cook exactly the meals that I loved, or that you drove me to this, or you encouraged me to do that, or the way you looked in that beautiful dress.
Yes.
Let me know what I wanted to look like when I was a grown, whatever it is.
Exactly.
The specifics.
The specifics.
Yes.
So that they feel known. Like they need to, that's the gift.
Yes, that's the gift. The
yes.
gift is, we're going to call this the Amy Waters Show.
Ah!
The gift is that you paid attention and that you remembered. And so often, parents who get these kind of letters from their adult children turn to me sometimes and say, if I've been involved in the writing process, and always say to their children, I didn't know you knew that about me, or I didn't know you remembered that. The gift is that you paid attention.
Yes.
And this letter to your mother, to whom will you mail it?
I think it's going to go right. Well, it's going to actually, that's a good question.
Isn't it?
It's just going to.
Got to mail it.
I might mail it to my brothers and sisters.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And and make a copy, of course, for yourself somehow.
Yeah.
Because this is part of your history.
Yes.
And your little boy.
Yeah.
And you have nieces and nephews. I don't know.
Yes.
Somebody is going to find these in 100 years.
Yes.
And know something wonderful about you.
Yes.
And long after you're gone.
Yes.
I'm. You know, you could be here in 100 years if science changes, but you know.
No, yeah.
Let's say 200
legacy.
Years.
Yeah.
We've got letters from Marie Antoinette, and they look great.
Yeah.
That's the legacy, and that's the pedigree.
Yes.
Let them know that they come from a long line of love. What could be a greater gift for them?
Oh, it is. It's fantastic, and it does have a huge
impact. It's strengthening.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Oh, yeah. And it's because when we say the word legacy, it actually is a real thing.
That's right. It really is. And for somebody to look years ago and say, my great-great aunt Amy, look how strong she was. She went and took a chance. And look what you got.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to thank you for doing this with me.
Oh,
I just, I'm smiling so hard. I just love listening to you and being around your air.
Oh, I love you so much.
So thank you. So I want to say that if you think you have to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, please remember that writing a love letter is a special occasion. And this is Janet Gallen saying, I will see you soon. Bye.
Bye.